minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. Good afternoon to the hooligans out there today. Ready to rock and roll here on a Thursday. Trying to build off of some momentum. You know, what is it they say now? Stack. You got to stack the wins. Stack the practices. Stack one good day on top of another, and you produce. Last Thursday, nobody in the world believed me. I said the Green Bay Packers were going to win against the Cardinals. Not cover, but win. And they did just that. Yes. Thank you, Susan and Cheryl. They were off yesterday, I guess. When Angel's not here, they don't want to be around anymore. But we got the deal done. We took care of business. Got off the snide. Completed. Avoided the Ofer month. And now we're looking at November to be a special month. But this is an interesting one. Coming up later today, we're going to look at this is an exciting. Angel comes to me during the prep today, and he's like, I didn't even put together a What's On Tonight thing because, I mean, come on. There's not even the NFL game. Jets and the Colts? You watching that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Of course.
Oh, boy. That's, well, and you got a Colts team that, you know, they need to get this one. They're 3-5. The Jets are 2-5. I don't know. Do the Colts seem like they should be better than they really are, or did we kind of see who they are on Sunday?
I feel like they should have been better, and then they got Carson Wentz, and then it just kind of fell off. But also, Mike White for the Jets just had a great game last
week. Mike White.
He's in the Hall of Fame now.
He's in the Hall of Fame. Dude, he's in the Hall of Fame. Because for why? Why? He had the most in his first game.
Most completions
in his first game. Dude, they have so many Hall of Fame stats. Like, do we need every record in the world to be in there? I mean, come on, meaningful records. Receptions, touchdowns, touchdown passes. But first ever game, and we maybe never hear from this guy after the season.
I think his parents might be happy about it.
Well, yeah, and he's happy about it. I mean, if that were me and I was in the Hall of Fame, I wouldn't be complaining. But let's face it, I'm nowhere near the. I'm in the Hall of Fame, of course. We created that. It's, you know, it's our building. I'm in that. But it's, yeah, everybody's in the Hall of Fame. Everybody gets in there. Might as well go for it. Interesting game tonight. Power to Play Sports poll question. Has some people kind of irritated with me, Angel. Relax, Brady. 8 games for the Nuggets. 8 games, and Michael Porter Jr. has yet to score 20 points. The Power to Play Sports poll question, did the Nuggets make a mistake signing Michael Porter Jr. to a max contract? 66% of the hooligans say no. 33% say yes. And a whole lot of nasty messages and comments to you, Angel. They asked who comes up with this crap, and I always just blame the producer. So it's just the way it is.
I can only do so much.
I mean, is it not a worthwhile question? You're all thinking it. I'm the one asking it. You're thinking it every time you see him turn the ball over or not score more than, what did he have, a 12 against the Grizzlies? Everyone's freaking out about his rebounding stats, Angel, but who did they play again last night? They played Memphis. What did I tell you about Memphis 2 days ago? You're going to get Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter Jr. swoop in for easy rebounds because Nikola Jokic's game plan is to box out Adams. That's how they roll. Scout the team. If you're watching the games, yeah, Porter's coming in for rebounds, but he's getting easy rebounds because Joker's doing all the work. That's what that matchup dictates. I like Porter. And for the record, if we're answering this question today, I still say no, they did not make a mistake. But so many hooligans, this is the negative world we're in, Angel. Would you say more people like Von Miller than dislike Von Miller in Broncos country?
Yes.
So if I ask the question, was trading Von Miller a good move? People are going to assume that I mean the negative or the, you know, going against the grain. Just because I asked the question. You know, and it doesn't always mean that way. So I'm asking the question, did the Nuggets make a mistake signing this max contract to MPJ? And I say no. But most of the hooligans just kind of freak out and assume that because I'm asking the question, I do not like the fact that the Nuggets signed this contract. Am I concerned? You should be concerned. We are 8 games in. We're almost to my 10-game evaluation. And when I evaluate you, my evaluation is probably going to lean toward Michael Porter Jr. not living up to contract status. Are you concerned about the amount of pressure and workload you're putting on the Joker? This also goes into that. Porter was supposed to be the guy, especially while Murray's out, that was going to share some of the load. So far, that has not been the case. Here's Michael Malone talking about, well, really, the ask of his MVP.
Older guys now, Nikola's not a good player, a great player. But every time he comes out, everything just falls apart. It's every night. And I went to him in the fourth quarter, and I called his name, and he looked at me kind of like, already? And I feel for him. But, I mean, to close the third quarter, I think it was a 5-0 run. Start the fourth quarter, 6-0 run. 11-0, part of an 18-3 Memphis run. Nikola's going to be worn down by Christmas at this rate, and that's unfortunate. So I have to, do my job to try to, figure it out.
Yeah, that's true. He does. Barton's played pretty well. Barton has been the overall second-best player for this team, and that's not what you want. Who's your big four? Now, I've had people argue with me and say, no, the Nuggets have a big five. Will Barton, I'm sorry, but he's not in big category, big status. However, he's playing more like that than we're seeing from MPJ and Aaron Gordon. They both have their moments, but the big four for Denver is Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., and Aaron Gordon. That's the way it is. And so you're not getting those guys on a regular basis throughout the games perform consistently. Porter Jr. had 12 points last night. Gordon had 9 points and 1 rebound. Yes, Porter had 11 boards, and I love that. Trust me, I've said it a million times on this show. He's getting the other stats, regardless of how he's getting them. He's getting them. He's averaging 7 rebounds per game. I like that. But he's only averaging 11 points per game. You signed him to be a 20-plus guy. Let's just call it what it is. You can tell me till you're blue in the face that, no, we signed him because we wanted his defense to get better, and he's an athlete, he can rebound, and he's going to get there, he's got a feel for the game overall. You signed him because he can score, and more specifically, because he can shoot the three. That's what he really brings to the table. And so when he's only scoring 11 points per game, 8 games in, I understand that. I'm not saying you need to be like sell, because you can't. I had somebody tweet at me last night about this kind of question, something I was alluding to, and he's like, I'll be concerned when he's actually playing on that contract. What the hell does that have to do with anything? He doesn't start playing on it until next year, and I get that. But what does that have to do with anything? You signed it. The pen signed it. You got ink on the contract. It is signed. It doesn't matter if he's playing on it now or next year. He is committed. He is signed with the Nuggets for the foreseeable future. Are we worried? Eastside Chris, what about those green boys? Pretty sad. Again, pretty similar stats to what they had against Memphis the other night. The trivia question is, which Green was it? Because again, if you go look at the box score, it's hilarious.
Who is Jay Green?
Yeah, Jay Green PF, 9 minutes. Jay Green PF, 8 minutes. Jay Green PF, 2 points. Jay Green PF, 4 points. It's hilarious to me.
Can we just like put them together?
One of you guys change your first name.
Just be Jay Green.
So that it would, yeah, so that we can help us out with the the box score, because they only just show the first initial and then the last name.
I think combined, it's pretty solid bench stats.
Bench again, man. Look at that. 2-4-2-9.
Who's that one guy on the bench that's showing up?
That keeps showing up with 9 points last night. Bones Highland. I mean, he hit.
Nuggets down by 1. Need a bucket. Bones, long range. Yeah!
And he had a really nice, he had a couple of really nice assists. He just seems to get the game. Very excited about him. He's a 21-minute guy. Probably going to need to be a 23, 24-minute guy pretty soon. You got to have somebody on the bench, and you got to have somebody help you out. I mean, Nikola Jokic is doing everything for this team. I mean, look at his Angel. I don't know if you have the box score in front of you. Only two other Nuggets went to the free throw line last night, and only two and those two Nuggets made one trip apiece. Morris went once. Now, he had an and one, but he missed it. Excuse me, Porter. That was Porter. Morris went and was 2 for 2. Joker, 10 for 10. 34 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. I mean, that is the definition of doing everything. His help, Porter, 12 points, 11 boards, no assists. There was moments he could have had those, too. Will Barton, 26 points, 7 assists. And again, Barton's going to come into spurts, right? You're going to have this little barrage, this little two-minute barrage of Will Barton ball where he scores like 10 points. So a quarter of his points, if not half, are going to come in spurts. Joker is consistent throughout the game. You need another guy that's consistent throughout the game. And it's frustrating. It has to be frustrating right now. I'll tell you what, Angel, let's get to the big story of the day presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. I had a couple of options here. I wanted to get to the Derek Carr story. You know, Derek Carr coming out about talking about Henry Ruggs. And essentially saying, hey, he needs people to love him right now. If no one else will do it, I'll do it. Yeah, he says he needs to be loved. And some people take that the way they should take that, to be honest with you. Some people get really upset. I guess I just asked this question. If that were your son, your friend, your family member, whatever, that caused the incident, the horrible, horrible thing that happened, would you just walk away? Would you be done with that person? You know you wouldn't. And I mean, unless you were already done before that happened. So for you to come at Derek Carr and get mad because he said he's still going to be friends with Gruden, he's still going to be friends with Ruggs, two totally different things, but still issues going on with the Raiders. Where are we as a society, man? What Ruggs did, he needs to be absolutely punished for to the full extent of the law. That poor family, I think about it and I cry. I mean, I want to cry. That woman was so close to her home. And boom, you're going how 124 is when he hit her.
Yeah, 124 when he hit her, but he started at 156.
Right. No excuses. It's awful, and he should be wherever, prison, whatever that looks like. He absolutely should, whatever the law deems necessary, and I'm sure they're throwing the book at him. Then they absolutely should. But why would you fault a man like Derek Carr for saying, hey, I'm going to be in his corner? Doesn't mean you support what he did. Doesn't mean you're excusing what he did. It means that you're going to be there if he needs someone to talk to. If he needs a shoulder to lean on. If he needs someone to text. I mean, I don't know why we're in this world where that is considered, oh my gosh, you're excusing what he did. That's not at all what Derek Carr's saying.
No, I agree. And I love the fact that he said that. And, you know, Henry knows that he messed up. He made a mistake, and he's going to have to face the consequences
for the rest of his life. And it likely ruined his life.
And it doesn't help to continually tell him what he did wrong, that you shouldn't have done that, you should have did this. And Derek Carr's just saying, stop it. Just give this kid some love.
Yeah. Give him some, not love as like, oh, you should be playing again, and you know, it's fine. It's not. It's a, hey, if you're in his circle, don't abandon him. You know, and again, that's the question you ask. People like to say, well, if that was your daughter or someone in your family that was involved in that car crash, would you be feeling the same way? I personally probably would not. But again, I'm not in Henry Ruggs' camp. Does that mean I'm automatically in his? Derek Carr knows him. For all I know, they were close. Carr's a good leader. So I thought it was, I didn't have any issue with it. Some people were really freaking out about it, but he's saying, hey, I'm going to show him some love if nobody else is. And it's not like showing him some love like, hey, man, showing you love. It's I'm here for you. It's kind of what Carr said about Gruden. Again, two totally different things. But he said, I love the man, hate the sin. Can that not be the same for this situation? Or is that somehow different? And he is, after all, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Bible, but Derek Carr is a Christian. And in the Bible, you are told to do what Derek Carr is basically saying. So Derek Carr also following his religion. But I don't know if any of you guys have read that. 20 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Aaron Rodgers. He had us fooled. Why didn't Jeopardy? I heard Will on with Tanner. Why didn't Jeopardy make him have a vaccine? Aaron Rodgers has the COVID and he's not playing. Double standard much? Drew Locke, we'll be right back.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Coach McCaffrey, your UNC head football coach, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Game beer of the week from On the Rocks Liquor. This one's from Breckenridge Brewing. It is a vanilla porter. You can pick up selections from Breckenridge Brewing at On the Rocks Liquor. They also got a drive-thru, so if you want to just pop through, get home in time for the big game. Oh, the game tonight. They call it the big game. I'm sorry. The game. Then you can also go through the drive-thru. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Also got the free Friday tasting going on tomorrow, 4 to 6. Estate Brands will be on hand to share their delicious wines and other beverages. So try that out. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show. Powered by PDC Energy. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Did the Nuggets make a mistake signing the max contract? Signing Michael Porter Jr. to the max contract. And for the record, I say no. They didn't. Yes, it is too soon to tell. It is 8 games. I still kind of think this team will figure it out. I feel like their issues still very much stemming from a bad bench, but that's neither here nor there when it comes to Porter Jr. He just has not found the net yet. He has not been able to get the ball through the hoop. I feel like that's going to change at some point. How about Memphis, though? That's a good basketball team. I think that's going to be a good basketball team throughout the year. So you play them twice in a row, same location, weird. There were some saying that Porter had to just stay in the hotel room all day by himself. I don't know if that's because of COVID restrictions there. I don't know what those look like. Speaking of COVID restrictions, Aaron Rodgers, what did he say? He was immune. He was what? He was
immunized.
Immunized. Word of the day, immunized.
I think since this pandemic started, that's the first time I've heard that word. I've heard every other word, but immunized.
Does that mean in his brain he thought because he had COVID or something that he wasn't immunized because of that?
Well, there's something like, you know, you have your natural immunity, and then I think immunized means he had some kind of treatment that made it so he couldn't get COVID. Didn't work,
obviously. So now you got investigation going on with the Packers. Did they handle this thing the right way? So, Angel, help me out. I'm a little slow. Why was it then? Okay, I know last year we didn't have the vaccines rolling out this time, right? When did they? It's all been a blur, to be honest.
Those started in, like, March.
Okay, April. So we didn't have them when Drew Locke and the quarterbacks didn't have COVID, to our knowledge, correct?
I think so, if I remember correctly.
They just weren't, their masks were down inside the quarterback room. So it was 3 or 4 guys in a room watching film, and their masks were down underneath their nose, maybe even under the chin diaper status, as South Park puts it. Well, that was enough for the league to say, no, irresponsible, and didn't let any of the quarterbacks play. Now, again, to my knowledge, unless I'm wrong on this, because I can't keep track, I don't have a COVID tracker. I'm not Adam Schefter. I don't COVID track. I don't believe any of those quarterbacks that were told they couldn't play last year had COVID in that instance. That's what I believe. But because their masks were down, they were punished because they broke the protocols. Well, Rodgers was not vaccinated. Never wore a mask in the press conferences or anything like that. Should the other quarterbacks be able? Should Jordan Love be able to play? Well, he's vaccinated. Okay. does that matter? If they were in because again, the whole, not going to get too political here, but the whole idea is that just because you're vaccinated doesn't mean that the person across from you shouldn't get vaccinated, right? That's what they're telling us now, is that I'm not doing it for myself, I'm doing it for you. So I got it, but that's not enough. If you got it, now we're double protected and we'll never get it. So in that case, if you can still get it regardless of status, of vaccination status, shouldn't all the other quarterbacks that were in the rooms at times with Rodgers or players be asked to sit down this week?
It's weird because obviously the rules have changed from where we were at this point last year to where we are now, and the protocols have been laxed a little bit.
Right. But still, well, the rules in the NFL now say if you're not vaccinated, you still have to wear a mask, you have to get daily tests, and you have to socially distance. How many of those guys that are wearing masks on the sidelines? Because you know they're not vaxxed. Okay, they're not socially distancing. I mean, again, this is why I've had issues with this because it's also damn inconsistent. But again, if you're saying I'm going to suspend four players from playing last year, three players for the Broncos because they had their masks down, didn't test positive for COVID. Again, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't test positive, but it was just because their masks were down. They were breaking protocols. Rodgers actually tests positive, wasn't wearing a mask, and was in rooms with these quarterbacks and probably other people. So why wouldn't they get suspended? Because they're vaccinated. Ah, you can still get it. And again, isn't what we're trying to get everybody to do is get vaccinated? Because just because I get it doesn't mean I'm safe because you haven't got it. We got to double it up, which again, makes very little sense to my little brain. And I get it. I got a small brain. Mysterio says, so you're saying Denver could get Rodgers? Yeah, that's in a roundabout way. That's what we're saying. I don't see. Do you see this? I hear Tanner Schwinn on NoCo Now saying he's back on the Rodgers train. Why? Give me one reason, Angel, that Aaron Rodgers would choose to leave. They're 7-1? Are they 7-1? To leave a 7-1 team that I would say is one of the favorites to win the Super Bowl. Going and come to the Broncos, who we don't know who the owner is. You don't know who the coach is next year. They're 4-4, but even their own general manager said it feels like they're 1-7. Give me one reason. And plus, the COVID restrictions are probably tighter in Colorado than where Aaron is right now. So give me one good reason why Aaron Rodgers would want to come to be a Denver Bronco.
The view's nice.
Here you go.
Got mountains. You're not living in suburb Green Bay.
Yeah, but Rodgers is a millionaire. If he wants to see mountains, boom, get in the plane, go and see him. Come right back, play football. I heard somebody tell me it was Jerry Jeudy.
You got the Rockies?
Yeah. Go watch the Rockies anytime. Somebody said it was Jerry Jeudy. I'm sorry, but Judy's been hurt off and on for two seasons so far.
I love Jerry, but him, Cortland, KJ, they're not proven commodities.
Not right now.
Yet.
Cortland's a free agent after this year. Tim Patrick's a free agent after this year. Melvin Gordon's a free agent after this year. Going on and on and on and on. I mean, this isn't as easy as you think, folks. And I don't know. I know Broncos country. I know we're a little. We got Peyton Manning. We can attract anybody here. What's the attractor? You got a genius of a head coach? No. You got a hell of an offensive line? Not really. Stud running back, Javonte Williams? Good running back, but we haven't seen enough because your offensive coordinator, which would also be an issue, doesn't know how to use him. A dynasty-type defense that could keep things together while you're learning the offense with your new team? Not really. Guys, I'm going to do this again. Everybody was in the Aaron after the report came out about the draft day, there was a rumor that Rodgers was going to come to Denver, that was going to happen. It took me to stand up and say, guys, no, it's not. It's not going to happen. And I'm going to do it again. Aaron Rodgers will never be a Denver Bronco. It makes zero sense to come to Denver, who is in whatever weird world we're living in, some kind of rebuild that's not a rebuild, but it could be a rebuild, but maybe is a rebuild. We don't know if it's a rebuild, but it could be a rebuild. That was about what I took from George Payton's press conference the other day. We're not in a rebuild, but we wanted to do right by Vaughn. So you think we could compete? We're 4-4, but it feels like we're 1-7. So we should be rebuilding. No. That's not fair to Justin Simmons. But we wanted to be fair to Von Miller. What? Oh, so you, Are you tanking? Nope. We're in the thick of this. We're going to compete. We're going to give it our best foot, put our best foot forward. Wouldn't that have been to do that with Von Miller? No. We wanted to do right by Von. But if you think you're going to compete, couldn't he compete with you guys? Yeah, but we're not there yet. Aha. I go home now. 35 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. The Border War is this weekend. Colorado State going up against Wyoming. They got the boot last year. Can they keep it? That might salvage a lot of things for Steve Addazio. We'll talk to Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and next, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Twenty minutes until the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back to The Hall Show. We got the Thursday night special coming up in the second hour for a doozy of a Thursday night football game against between the Jets and the Colts. Pretty excited about that one. Kevin Lytle joining me from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, we got Border War week, and boy, fans are upset. They're frustrated with the Rams, with Steve Addazio, but a lot can sure be forgiven if the Rams find a way to not only beat Wyoming, but retain the boot, do it twice in a row.
Yep, exactly. Winning games like this can heal a lot of wounds. I mean, you know, if we go backwards a little bit, one of the main reasons Mike Bobo was fired was because he didn't win rivalry games. So Steve Addazio is 1-for-1 in the Border War, go 2-for-2, and it will certainly help pacify a lot of things and, you know, kind of ease that frustration from fans.
Kevin, you've covered the Rams a while. You've got a good connection with Ram Nation. And I've seen this, and tell me if I'm wrong. I've seen plenty of Rams fans say if they had to pick between, you know, going to a bowl game or not going to a bowl game but beating your rivalries, they'd rather beat the rivalries than go to a bowl game. I mean, does that seem like there's a good chunk of fans that feel that way?
Yeah, I think that's maybe a little bit of a lie. I think it's partially true. Certainly you really want to beat your rivals. You feel good when you do. But if that's all you do, I think people will still be pretty frustrated. I think we see it right now. You know, if CSU beats Wyoming Saturday, I don't think, you know, people will be calling for a 10-year, you know, extension for Steve Addazio yet. So it's one of those, there's truth to it. I think the problem with the Bobo era is you weren't beating your rivals, and yeah, you were going to bowls, but the program never really ascended. It kind of flatlined. So, you know, especially with all the investments, you kind of want both, but beating rivals is certainly a good start. So yeah, I don't think it fixes everything. I think, we've kind of seen the last year plus that that's a little bit of a lie, that that's all fans need. But it's certainly a good start.
Well, in fairness, we asked the question when during the Bobo era, when, you know, there were really no rivalry wins, so fans were desperate to beat their rivalries. But certainly now things perhaps changed a little bit. But nonetheless, that would take a lot of pressure off of Addazio. They can get a fourth win, beat Wyoming, and who knows? You got Air Force the following week, but a lot of pressure on this one. And boy, Kevin, on the opposite side of that, if the Rams lose, and I know they're in Wyoming, if they lose this game, it's going to be, fans are going to go a little crazy after that one, don't you think?
Yeah, it's a big swing as far as, like you say, just the vibe around the program. If you win, you know, like you say, not only you have the boot back-to-back years, but bowl eligibility is still on the table. You know, and you're looking at, you know, still managing a pretty decent season as possible. If you lose after the losses of the last 2 weeks, and, you know, this Wyoming team is not very good. They've lost 4 games in a row. They're really struggling a lot of ways. So if you lose, it's not going to be fun.
No, not at all. And again, you have an Air Force team that they have some big goals in mind. They need to just keep winning football games. But who knows, if things fall the right way, Air Force could be playing in that conference championship game. So, I mean, they're not just looking at you know, beating rivals. They're looking at big picture stuff and doing some pretty cool things. Kevin, talk to us about Wyoming. They win their first four games. You and I have discussed that on the College Football Kickoff show that airs at 5 o'clock on Thursdays, coming up soon. We've discussed, okay, yeah, four wins, but against teams that aren't very good. Well, they've lost their last four once they jumped into conference play. So Wyoming, not a great team right now. But what jumps out to you about this team that the Rams should be concerned about?
Yeah, it got ugly really fast for Wyoming, and the big problem was their offense. And they went a long, long time without scoring at all. They've made a change. Sean Chambers was the quarterback. They've gone to Levi Williams. Chambers has just dealt with a ton of injuries in his career. But they're still, you know, kind of what you expect. They defend pretty well. They're going to try and run the ball. They still have a good running back in Xavier Valaday. So I think that's going to be, you know, both teams are going to want to run it. That's going to be kind of a key thing, but look out for if they can get that run game going. Levi Williams is a sneaky quarterback. He can play pretty well. He's been kind of inconsistent, but he can both throw it and run it. So he's an intriguing threat. But defensively, I mean, if Wyoming's able to shut down CSU's run game, how's that going to impact things? Because CSU was shut down the run game last week, and they did throw it pretty well, but they were pretty stubborn in trying to keep running. And we saw the second half, they just kind of stagnated. So it's a fascinating matchup, and both sides really need a win. We've talked to CSU side, but the Wyoming side as well. To go from 4-0 to 4-4 is a pretty nasty turn. So they're very desperate as well. So I think we're going to see two hungry teams. You know, they always are for the boot, but there's some added elements right now.
Kevin, it's always a unique practice week, isn't it? Coaches always try to do something unique to really light that fire. What is Adazio doing this week? And I guess, yeah, you guys are back in the good graces, at least for a week, Kevin. Just be careful. But what are the Rams doing to fire this group up? What's Adazio doing?
Yeah, it is always interesting. You know, Mike Bobo, you know, there's a string of four straight years that Wyoming won it. And Mike Bobo, for a couple of years, he would play the video. They would practice inside Canvas Stadium, and he would have the video of Wyoming celebrating with the boot running on a loop for the entirety of practice, which must have been incredibly obnoxious. Obviously, it never really worked, I guess you could say, since they never beat Wyoming at the end of Bobo's tenure. Steve Adazio, in practice this week, he's been playing the fight song, not constantly, kind of in between, you know, when they're in breaks and stuff. And I know in the locker room there are some posters and things, motivational or whatever, you know, basically Wyoming-centric posters and things. So some of your normal type of stuff like that. I'm always skeptical of how impactful it really is, but that's a pretty standard thing, and that's what they've been doing. I did talk to Marshawn Cameron yesterday. He said, yeah, I'm sick of seeing those dang posters.
Yeah, if anything, they're just frustrated with what they're doing in practice. They have to get out there, maybe take their aggression out on the Cowboys. And obviously, this is a bitter rival here. And this is why it's so tough, Kevin, when you're seeing conference talk, you know, constantly, you know, we're having conference realignment. You saw what happened with CU in Nebraska several years ago. That was a fun rivalry. And this is why I do like standing pat, staying in your conferences and keeping those rivalries alive and well. And that can be the issue. But here we do have one of those traditional ones, certainly for the state of Colorado. But it's nice to have those rivalry games because, again, even if you're having a weird season, a down season, what have you, these games can still lift you up. And maybe, you know, the old adage, throw the records out the window. These games can still be very good.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they tend to be very interesting. I mean, I've been talking this week, there are years where, you know, CSU has been down and goes and beats a good Wyoming team and vice versa. You know, a not-so-good Wyoming team goes and beats a good CSU. They're fun. And yeah, with all the conference realignment, I mean, I remember, you know, weeks ago when CSU to the AAC looked like a thing that was going to happen, there were a lot of comments from Wyoming fans of, like, you know, basically, you know, what the hell, guys? You know, that's pretty messed up, you know. CSU and Wyoming call it the oldest rivalry west of the Mississippi. I think we've actually checked, and that's not exactly accurate. But either way, it's super old, you know, historic. I'm sure on the kickoff show we'll talk about the boot and, you know, some of the background and that. But yeah, these are always cool. And yeah, I mean, this year you have two teams that, you know, frankly aren't great, but it still feels like a pretty fun week.
Yeah, it does. And don't you just love rivalry games when there is kind of a unique trophy to it? I mean, there's something that's a different element that it adds. And again, I'm excited for this afternoon or this evening. You're going to talk to us more about the history of that boot. I love that. But doesn't that just add? I mean, it can be anything. It can be something really significant, really special, like the bronze boot, or it can be something else that's just a prop item. It does make these rivalry games a little bit more exciting.
Yeah, I think this one definitely is special, and you know, we'll talk, you know, in juxtaposition of next week when they have the Ram Falcon Trophy, which frankly I think is a silly, goofy trophy that, you know, I've never heard an alum tell me, you know, oh, we really need to win the Ram Falcon Trophy, whereas the boot is a really prized one. So yeah, if you have the right thing, it's a pretty unique one and you know, cool backstory and all that. So it's a lot of fun. I think everyone on both sides of this one appreciates the history and everything that goes with the boot.
Yeah, well, a lot of pressure going into this one for several reasons. Coach Steve Addazio certainly needing a couple of good wins to wrap up the season. We got one full month left, and we'll see. Hey, full month, it has two rivalry games that could tell you what, you beat Wyoming, find a way somehow, some way to beat Air Force. Then, man, suddenly Rams fans are feeling pretty good about things. Kevin, excited to break it all down in more detail with you on the College Football Kickoff Show coming up at 5 o'clock. Drive safely on your way over here, my friend.
Yep, that's perfect. It's like a little taste tester, a little teaser before the show.
I love it, man. And your insights and what you're able to give us is second to none. So we're looking forward to it, my man.
Sounds good. See you in a little bit, Brady.
All right. Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado. And the bronze boot, the Rams, well, they had possession of it. They won it last year. But now we'll set it up and we'll get it in Wyoming and see who can hang on to the bronze boot, who can win the border war. And if the Rams can do it twice in a row, I know that's not the end-all be-all, beating your rivalries all the time, but I would imagine with where Steve Addazio is right now and his fairly young career as a Rams coach, not a young career as a coach, this would be a pretty significant opportunity for him. 51 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. We'll wrap up the show on the other side. Mountain West standings, there's some big ones coming up this weekend. I'm rejuvenated, Angel. I'm ready for a big football weekend, man. I'm pumped. I'm excited. We'll talk about more of that on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to my man, Brady Hall, and The Hall Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. Thanks to Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. They have a spine specialist, hip and knee specialist, foot and ankle specialist, and hand and upper extremity specialist. They have you covered literally from head to toe. That's Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. Check out their website, orthohealth.com, to see a list of physicians and all the wonderful things that they can do to help you out throughout whatever you're going through. If, you know, like I said, I go to Rev Chiropractic. There are other injuries. There are things that are just going to be beyond that chiropractic care. And Rev Chiropractic understands that too. Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies, practicing medicine in motion for a very long time. 12:57 the time. When we come back, didn't have time this hour. Let's take a look at the Mountain West standings. Von Miller, did you think it was going to be as hard as it was to see him in the Rams uniform? He's certainly drying his eyes. He said, I went to bed 4-4, woke up 7-1. The Broncos did me right. He's looking around at the Rams going, I could win another Super Bowl. I mean, if he wasn't a first ballot Hall of Famer, even though he's joining an already good team, wouldn't that then cement that fact if he can do it, if he can be a part of it? I think he's going to actually have a good end of the season. All right, second hour coming up, a lot to get to. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.